You know, they're just waiting for an invitation to come. And boy, I just think it's great that Pastor Jeff and Pastor Tiffany have put together this resource packet for you. This is really great stuff. And I encourage you, be sure to take one. Stop by the events counter if you didn't get one. And don't just take it. Open it up. Use the devotional. Pray the prayers. Use the invite cards. And come expecting God to do great things here at Generations Church on Easter Sunday. Amen? Hey, this morning, I thought about giving you some kind of deep theological lesson that would just razzle and dazzle your mind and leave you confused. And, you know, I thought, sometimes we need to return to the simplicity of the gospel. And that's what I love about the Graham's theme. You just love like Jesus. There's no right way or wrong way. If you love people like Jesus, man, they're going to see something different in your life. They're going to want what you have. And I think sometimes as we grow older, and many of you have been in church for a lot of years, we tend to forget how simple it really is to thrive spiritually. Now, I know the Grahams want every one of you to thrive spiritually. They want to see you grow in the Lord. They want to see you prosper in the Lord. And it's really quite a simple plan of action if we simply follow what the Apostle Paul tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you today to turn to 1 Thessalonians. I want to talk about spiritual priorities. This is a very simple, easy to remember, and I am hoping the Holy Spirit will help you. How to grow spiritually by exercising three very simple principles that Paul outlines for us here in 1 Thessalonians. Some of you remember a book that was written back, I think it was in the 90s. His name was Robert Fulghum, and it became a New York Times bestseller. It was a book that simply said, all I really needed to know about life I learned in kindergarten. And this book captured the hearts of Americans with some very simple things, like share everything, play fair, don't hit people, clean up your own mess, wash your hands before you eat, always flush. Warm cookies and milk are good for you. You know, really simple things that Robert Fulghum said he learned in kindergarten really were the basic foundations that he needed for a good, pleasurable, successful life. And I think the appeal of that book is found in its simplicity and in its common sense. And so this morning, I want to present to you something very simple, but something that will help all of us as we walk with Jesus. Now, Paul was writing this book to the church in Thessalonica, and he ended the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5, in a very simplistic way. He offers to us some basic exhortations, urging the church at that time, urging anyone who wants to thrive spiritually in their walk with Jesus. He's saying, all you need to do is keep up some basic kindergarten kind of stuff. And I love it. And it boils down to three different aspects of our life. They all start with D. Hopefully that'll help you remember them. Number one is discipline. Number two is discernment. And number three is dependence. Say those with me, will you? Discipline, discernment, and dependence. Those are the three basic things Paul is concluding this letter with. And they're things that never change. Life is changing at a rate faster than we've ever seen before. Not just in the technology we use, but families are changing. You understand that. Values have changed. Things that used to be considered immoral are now embraced as being moral. All sorts of changes. And the question is, how do we navigate through that? Well, I think we find something that doesn't change, which if we know is Jesus himself, but the principles that will keep us close to Jesus. So if the world crumbles around you and things happen that you don't quite understand what's going on, you can still know that God is with you. He is as loving, he is as kind, he is as powerful, he is as merciful, God is as generous, he's as good and holy as he's ever been. He never changes. And if we want to experience that in our life, in the midst of an ever-changing world, Paul just gives us these three simple things. We need to have as part of the very core of our life, discipline, discernment, and dependency. That's always been the case, hasn't it? You know, in the Old Testament, we read how people of Israel had to depend on God for guidance. And in the New Testament, they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. And the good news is today, in 2026, you and I are under the same care as they were. We have the same opportunities. We can depend upon him to lead us. We can depend upon him to empower us. We can depend upon him to protect us in the days ahead. If we will simply do some very simple things in our life. Because there's something else that never changes about life. Now, God never changes. Society changes, cultural changes, we understand all that. But the daily, ordinary challenges of living never change. Relationships have always been difficult. The relationships that you might be trying to navigate through right now that seem so difficult. Hey, read some of the Old Testament stories about those families. They had very difficult family relationships as well. Jobs are difficult. They're stressful. We're in the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. Those things don't change. Sin is the same. Satan is still trying to kill, rob, steal, and destroy. He's always been that way. Those things don't change. So really, we've got some modern conveniences, but life, on its most basic level, is as challenging as it's always been. And the only way we're really going to not just survive, but thrive, because I believe that's what God wants. Jesus said in John 10, I have come that you might have life. Not just to get by, but life more abundantly. Life to the very fullest. He's a God of grace and a God of mercy and he's a God of abundance. But for that to happen in our life, we need to make sure we are doing our part. And that's where it comes to St. Paul's exhortations to us. So I want us to read this and then we'll unpack those three things this morning, how we need to have discipline in our life, we need to have discernment, and we need to have dependency. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse number 16, and I'll be reading through verse number 24. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. You see that word all with me? All. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not a prophecy expert. I'm not a prophet. God has given me words for people occasionally. But you know, here it is in black and white. We can just read it for ourselves, can't we? What is God's will for us? Here it is. No question about it. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks. But do you know those three things require discipline on our part? We have to discipline ourselves to rejoice always. We have to discipline ourselves to pray continually. We have to discipline ourselves to be people of gratitude. Verse 19, Paul says, "And do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil." That, my friend, is talking about having a discerning spirit. Using discernment. Test. Hold on to what's good. And then verse 23 says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. And He'll do it if we will simply depend upon Him." Will you join me in just a brief word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word that's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I thank You, Lord, that there's a lot of mysteries in the Bible that we might not totally understand, but there are some very simple teachings that we can not only understand, but that we can put into play in our daily living. And I pray in the next few minutes that Your Spirit will speak to each of us, not just as a group, Generations Church, but as individuals. How can we be more disciplined? How can we have better discernment? How can we be more dependent upon You? And through those simple things, I pray, God, that You will prosper and bless each and every person of Generations Church. And I pray that You will put a burden upon their heart to share their faith, that they'll use, Lord, these Easter resources to pray, to invite, to believe that this place will be packed with visitors and guests on Easter Sunday who will be able to receive that free gift of salvation. We love You. Guide us through Your Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're taking notes, number one, you already know. What is it? Discipline. Discipline. And Paul mentions those three ways that we read that we have to discipline ourselves, to rejoice, to pray, to give thanks. Those things don't automatically happen. A lot of times we don't feel like those things. That's why we need to discipline ourselves. It's like you might not feel like getting up and doing your exercises or going for a walk or going to a gym, but you do it because you know that you need that physical strength. And you need the spiritual strength by disciplining yourself to rejoice always. You know, joy is a common theme throughout the Bible. One of the greatest misconceptions and one of the greatest lies that sometimes we feed ourselves is, well, I just can't help how I feel. Well, you need to acknowledge how you feel. You can't deny how you feel, but you don't have to stay in that feeling. That's the wonderful thing about joy. The fact is, you can help yourself how you feel to an extent, because how you feel about any situation is simply the result of how you believe about that situation. Some of you have experienced cancer or have had family members that have experienced cancer. And they believe that by going through difficult treatment, whether that's radiation or chemo, they believe that that is going to restore to them health and longer life. And so they can rejoice through their trials. And that's what Paul is saying here, is that we can look at a situation and say, Lord, help me see this through Your eyes and help me to rejoice. A really old illustration that maybe you've heard, but it's such a good one, about the two shoe salesmen. two men who sold shoes for a living. And both of them were sent to a primitive country overseas to establish a new business. And when they arrive, they look around and everybody is walking around with bare feet. There's nobody there with moccasins. There's nobody there with shoes on at all. And they're looking around thinking, what? One salesman sent a letter back to his wife and said, my boss must really hate me. I can't believe that he sent me to a place where nobody wears shoes. What a waste of time for me to be here. And the other salesman wrote to his wife and said, honey, the boss must love me. He must really believe in me because he sent me to a place where nobody wears the shoes. What an opportunity I have. Two men, the same situation, looking at through a different lens. Paul wants us to rejoice, even though it might not feel good, even though we might not understand what we're going through. We can trust God with our life. We say, God, you've ordered my steps. You're walking me through this. You're going to use all things for my good. I thank you, Lord. I choose to rejoice. Because how you feel about any situation is determined by what you believe. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, friends, all things are going to work for your good. If you can trust Him, if you can obey Him, you can be joyful in any situation by choosing God's promises. Just to know that He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He wants what's best for you. He's going to provide for you. He's going to enable you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll cause every situation in your life to turn around for the best. Hallelujah. I would just say, if you are facing challenges today, I want to challenge you to intentionally choose joy. But I understand you have to be disciplined for that. So that's that first basic principle, being disciplined. Paul also says it's not just enough to be joyful, you need to pray. Sometimes we go through life in such a hurry, we're so overwhelmed by our problems, by our to-do list, we just don't take time to pray. And that sense of being hurried can be spiritually devastating to us. Martin Luther said, I pray an hour a day unless I have a real busy one, then I pray 3 hours a day. Dallas Willard is widely quoted as saying, hurry is the greatest enemy of your spiritual life. You must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. See, when you're in an attitude of prayer, it causes you to slow down. You're forced to shift the focus of your thoughts from yourself and your situation to God. You stop thinking about how impossible everything, and you start thinking about how God is a God of possibilities. There's nothing too hard for Him. Someone once said, I wrote it down in one of my Bibles, it's really helped me through the years. Pray hardest when it's hardest to pray. That's not intuitive, but that's what Paul's saying here. If you want the kindergarten principles of a spiritual life, you need to discipline yourself to pray. And there'll be times that it's not easy to pray. But if you put your feelings aside, and if you pray anyway, you will become stronger. William Carey said, prayer lies at the root of all personal godliness. I want to become more like Jesus. The question is, will I do what it takes to become more like Jesus? And Paul is saying, hey, you need to rejoice and trust Him. And you need to slow down. You need to pray. The other area that Paul mentions when it comes to this point of discipline is to give thanks. rejoice, pray, and give thanks. And again, it's not in just the circumstances that feel good or the ones you can understand, but give thanks in all things. He doesn't say you have to give thanks for all things, but in all things. You know, you might not be able to say, God, I thank you my teenage child or my grandchild has become so rebellious, it's making our whole family miserable. You don't have to thank him for that. But you can say, God, I give you thanks in this situation because I know you have the power to work miracles. I give you thanks because I know you can make me a better parent, a better grandparent. I know you can strengthen our family. You can unify our family. Just like the salesman that saw all the people who needed shoes. Listen, being joyful means that we discipline our emotions. Okay. Praying continually means that you discipline your mind. And giving thanks is all about disciplining your will. I want to say that again. We need to discipline ourselves to be joyful. That's our emotions. We need to discipline our mind to pray. And we need to discipline our will to give thanks. It all requires effort on our part, but the Spirit helps us, and the effort pays off, and we begin to grow and thrive in the Lord. The second D, do you remember what it was? Discernment. Discernment. That's what Paul says here, beginning in verse number 19. Don't quench the Spirit, don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test them, though, and hold on to what's good and reject what is evil. Friends, years ago, it seems like life was more black and white. Now our culture, in and out of the church, has a lot of gray tones. And friends, you can't always believe what you read or what you see. Now, as much as ever before, we need discernment. A lot of pastors and churches are growing, but not necessarily because they're preaching the gospel. We need discernment. It's like if you have email, and no doubtly you've received, you know, these offers on hot stock options or money-making schemes. It's just part of the society we live in. We receive these things, investment offers, and here's a deal too good to be true, but you can jump on it now. And for the most part, most of us can discern, hey, this is spam, this is, just delete it. But sometimes you receive letters, maybe endorsed by a friend, and you kind of wonder, well, I wonder if there is some truth to that. There's all sorts of conspiracy theories out there, warning you of impending crisis or warning you of some spiritual key that nobody has found until this point. Now, I'm sharing with you the spiritual keys that have been around for thousands of years. I remember early on in my ministry, and I had to navigate our church through it because some people jumped on the bandwagon because of lack of discernment. But there was a rumor that this well-known atheist at the time, her name was Madeline Murray O'Hara, very outspoken atheist. And there was a rumor, not really in the world, but a rumor in the church, that she had introduced this petition to the FCC in Washington, and they were going to ban all religious broadcasting. Well, you can imagine the church was going crazy. What? We got to stop this lady. And they began to get signatures, and they began to petition the FCC, and on and on. And it was kind of an embarrassment, because the fact is there was no petition. There was no effort to ban religious broadcasting. Somebody made that up, used Madeline Murray's O'Hara as kind of a match to light the flame, so to speak. And it turned out to be an embarrassment to the church. We were protesting something that wasn't even true. That's why Paul says, be careful. Use discernment. It doesn't just apply to email. It applies to life. It applies to everything you hear on the radio or the television or the internet. That's why I know Pastor Jeff wants you to take the messages you hear from this pulpit and make sure that they line up to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit's the one that can help us in this area, because we get fooled as humans. So we can ask the Holy Spirit. There is a gift of the Holy Spirit called the discerning of spirits. I've asked for that several times. I said, Lord, would you show me whether this is really true or whether this is partially true or whether it's totally untrue? Because a lot of times we hear things that are partially true, but it's distorted. Because that's what Satan does. He's a master at distorting things. So Paul says, test these rumors, the spirits, the prophecies, the conspiracy theories, the secret, you know, sauce to a prosperous life or whatever. If you want to experience God's power in your life, you've got to be open to asking the Holy Spirit what He is doing. Doesn't mean putting your brain on the back burner and just, you know, listening and believing everything you hear. That's why he says, don't quench the Spirit. See, God wants us to remain open to what He's doing. Could be through a prophecy. Could be through something that somebody sends to you. You can't put God in a box and say, I'm only going to allow God to work in my life in this way. Every time I've done that, God has jumped out of the box and He started working in my life in a new way. Because God doesn't always make us, you know, comfortable. He's more concerned about our character than He is our comfort. But we need to test things. I think basically what Paul's saying here is look before you leap. Look before you. You don't have to be cynical about everything. It doesn't hurt to be a little skeptical. Investigate, test things out. Don't allow yourself just to be spoon-fed. And then, through the help of the Spirit, sort it out. Hold on to what's good. Reject out that isn't good. We need discipline. We need discernment. My final point, which I think is Paul's final point here as he draws this letter to a conclusion, is we need to be dependent upon God. Dependency. Verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. I've had a lot of key men in my life. As I look back, I can, you know, count 5, 6, 7 really men who really invested in me, who really made a difference in my life, influenced me. But probably the one that's on the top of the list would be my dad. My dad was a godly man. Never was in ministry. He taught Sunday school. He served on the board. He was a logger, and then he bought a gas station, and he ministered to people as he washed their windows and checked their oil. But you know, when Dad told me he would do something, never once did I question him. He was that dependable to me. Now, if my best friend said, Jerry, don't worry about it, I'll take care of it. Well, maybe, maybe not. But if my dad said, son, I'll take care of that, I didn't have to give it a second thought. And my dad was human. He wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect. He did his best, but he certainly wasn't Jesus. And I think if I could trust my dad on that natural level, how much more can I trust my Heavenly Father? And if He gives me a promise and says, Jerry, don't worry. I called you, I'm faithful, and I'm going to take care of it. You know, my response to that needs to be not to ask Him how He's going to take care of it, not to tell Him how to take care of it, not to question if he's going to take care of it. My response needs to be 100% trust. I need to depend upon my Heavenly Father. And in order for you and I to really maintain our spiritual health, and we're talking about that this morning, how do you prosper in your spiritual health? You've got to remember where your spiritual strength lies. You can't do it on your own. You can't make yourself holy by your own strength. You can't discipline yourself. You can't have discernment without depending upon the Holy Spirit, upon God the Father, upon Jesus' sacrifice for you, and upon the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The only way to maintain spiritual strength is to depend, to make room, to allow the Spirit to work in your life. Really, what Paul's talking about here is a church term called sanctification, which means that we are becoming more and more like Jesus progressively. Now we know when we're saved, man, we're justified. Our sins are forgiven. We understand that. We're saved as we're always going to be. But we're still working through our salvation in this process called sanctification. And that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. He says, the one who calls you is faithful, and he'll do it. One of my favorite verses in 2 Peter says, his divine power, speaking of God the Father, his divine power, that's the Holy Spirit, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Man, there should have been a lot of praise the Lord's at that statement. That was a good statement. Let me say it again and give you another chance. The Holy Spirit will give us everything that we need for a godly life. Oh, we just need to depend on Him and trust Him. Exercising discipline is our job. You've got to make the effort to do it. Practicing discernment is our job. We've got to make the effort to do it. But listen, friends, making ourselves holy is God's job. All we have to do is cooperate with Him. Oh, He'll lead us. He'll say, no, you can't do that. Well, you should do that. And, you know, He'll lead us. It's His job, but we have to cooperate with Him. I think we'll fail, of course, from time to time. At least I fail in exercising discipline. Easier to grumble than rejoice. Easier to complain than give thanks. Sometimes I miss it, practicing discernment, because I don't take time to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help me. But the good news is, through all that, God will never fail in making me holy. The Bible says God will remain faithful to you, even if you are faithless to Him. So even if you mess up in your disciplines and your discernment, if you are trusting God, He's still there for you. He's still making you holy, even through the bumps of life. What does that mean, really, to depend on God? I think we can see that in several ways, particularly in our attitude on sin, about sin. We don't like to talk about sin, but it's a real thing, and it always hinders our walk with the Lord. Fact is, we're all going to miss the mark occasionally. The important thing is, what's our response once we miss the mark? So many people go into a mode of condemnation. Oh, no. I messed up. God will never love me again. Now, that's not true. Romans makes it very clear. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If your response is that you're depending on your own goodness, saying, I messed up again, God's not going to love me because I'm not good enough. You see, you're not depending upon God. When you fail, when you sin, your attitude should be, Lord, I have broken your law. I've broken something. My relationship with you, by your mercy, through the blood of Jesus Christ, forgive me. And by your strength, help me to pick myself up and do better. And we know, according to 1 John, he'll do that. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's up to us to confess. He forgives, he cleanses, he purifies. So that's three simple things I want you to think about this week. And I want you to begin making an effort to incorporate them even to a greater degree than they are now. Because I want to see you prosper. I want to see you thrive in your walk with the Lord. So it's kindergarten stuff, but it's important stuff. What does it take to keep our spiritual life strong? We've got to exercise spiritual discipline, which Paul summarizes as rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. We've got to practice spiritual discernment, and we've got to always wholly depend upon the power of the Holy Spirit and the mercy of God to cleanse us, to help us, to make us holy, to conform us into the image of Jesus our Lord. I'd like the worship team to join me in the platform. Will you just bow your head in another quick word of prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that I've had to minister this morning to these dear people in Moses Lake and surrounding communities. I thank you for Pastor Jeff and Pastor Tiffany. Thank you, Lord, that they were able to celebrate the wedding with Caden and Mo yesterday. I pray you'll be with Caden and Mo. Continue, Lord, to just use them, to protect them as they serve our country. Pray you'll give Pastor Jeff and Pastor Tiffany a safe trip home. Thank you for the Graham family. Thank you, Lord, for their commitment to this church. Thank you, Lord, for this resource of an Easter invite packet. And I pray everyone, Lord, in this building will not just take this packet, but we'll do the devotionals. We'll pray. We'll see people through your eyes. We'll love like you and invite people to the great Resurrection Sunday service here at Generations. And Lord, I pray now as we conclude the service that we'll just make more room for you. That we will not be in such a hurry. That we'll forget the basic spiritual disciplines that we need in our life. Help us to rejoice and to give thanks and to pray. Help us, Lord, to depend upon your Spirit, to discern what's right and what's wrong, what's of you and what just is popular. Help us, Jesus, to always depend upon you. Thank you that you use a multiplicity of ways to bless us. But Lord, those are just tools. All good things are from you. Help us, Lord, to depend upon you. We thank you for your faithfulness. Continue to shape us and mold us into your image. And help us, Lord, to always love like Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.